irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining me once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, in regards to our topic today, let's think about this. We know that our physical body can go without water for only 3 days before it starts shutting down. And at that point, we become unable to function as we were created to, and our minds start playing tricks on us. Now, we've all seen those movies, or we've heard stories of thirsty people seeing a mirage of water in the desert after just a few days without water. Well, our guest writes, in the same way, when we aren't regularly filled up spiritually, we are unable to function properly. Now, because of spiritual dehydration, our hope deteriorates, we lose focus, and we become ineffective in life. So with us is Karen Schatzlein, an international speaker and author who travels extensively around the world ministering the gospel. She is the co-founder of Remnant Ministries International. Karen leads with a heart for transformation for the hurting and is best known for her messages of hope and freedom. She uses humor, straight talk, and relative topics to convey her message. Karen has appeared many times on television networks such as Daystar, TBN, CTN, and the Cornerstone Network, to name just a few. And Karen is the author of the book we are talking about. It is the powerful new book, Dehydrated, and many who have read it say it will lead you into a deeper encounter and intimacy with God. One review I read said it brings healing and freedom to all who read it. Karen, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on the show, and I can't wait to dive in and to be able to share, hopefully to bring clarity to people so that they can see that they can live a life that is free and that is full of life and joy and purpose in Christ.
Well, and I think before we go into the book, let's dive right into that. So tell us a little bit about the I Am Remnant movement.
Well, my husband and I, Pat Schatzlein, and I founded the I Am Remnant conferences, and we actually just completed our second one this weekend. We have 16 conferences that are all over the nation that go through summer, and we're excited because we're wanting to get the message out to a generation in our changing culture. In a culture that has tried to steal the identity of a generation, that you can rise up and you can lead and you can walk in truth, you can walk in victory, you can walk in purpose, that God's not done with them, that God's not done with our nation, and that they can be set free from the bondages that has held them captive for so long. And we just, we believe that God wants to restore a generation, and a generation that has been orphaned, a generation that has been lost, and we just want to lead them back to the love and the mercy of the Father.
Well, going along with those points, we have an email message that came in, and again, I thank those that send this in. We send out a press release before the show, so fortunately, we get a lot of people that will send in messages because they may not be able to listen live. or they're planning on listening later on through iTunes or Stitcher. So what they do is they'll email in or instant message in a message, and this one reads, "I love the title of your book and got the visualization of being thirsty for a fulfilling life, as the money, possessions, and hollow accomplishments just aren't cutting it. With so many people desperate, lonely, and depressed these days, what is it in this book that would wake somebody up or give them the real solutions they need?"
Well, that, I love that, because that is the things that we hear everywhere we go, everywhere I travel and speak on the book, because everywhere I travel, I hear one reoccurring thing, and it's, "I'm so dry, I'm so thirsty, I'm so desperate, I'm so exhausted, life has wore me out." And I think so many times that across the board, we have gotten to a point where we try to draw our purpose, our significance, our emotional well-being from our accomplishments and our positions and our titles and how much money we have, how much giftings we have. Everything is tied around what we can do. And when we revolve around what we can do in ourselves, it's exhausting, because we can't bring fulfillment to our own life. That fulfillment is only found in the presence of a loving Father. And that fulfillment can only come when we encounter Him. One encounter can change you for a lifetime. I truly believe it. I've experienced it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of people that I come in contact with. And the enemy wants to keep you busy. If the enemy cannot make you sin, he will just make you busy. Because when you are busy trying to accomplish, trying to do, trying to be, then you don't focus on who God has called you to be, on the things that God wants you to do. And our fulfillment comes in walking in the presence of God. It comes in walking in the fulfillment and the purpose that God has called us to do. And so when we realize that we can't fulfill ourselves, that only God can fulfill us, and we relinquish that to Him, He'll begin to fill us up with purpose. He'll begin to fill us up with joy and peace and freedom. And there's such a freedom that comes when you totally understand who He's called you to be versus who you're trying to be.
Well, along those lines, please share with us how your life was interrupted with the message of the new book.
Well, my story began at around 13 years old, because I was going into seventh grade. I was such a shy, insecure, fearful young girl. It's amazing people that knew me back then and then see me now can't believe that I even stand up on a stage and say my name, let alone try to lead people, you know, in the direction that they need to go. Because I was so afraid. I felt like I didn't have a voice. I felt like I was invisible. I was lost. I was desperately in search of my own identity. And I'll never forget, because it was the very first time that I experienced God's presence. No one had to tell me. No one had to lead me. God visited me at 13 years old. And I'll never forget, I was walking into the school courtyard, going into the seventh grade, and I was so afraid. I didn't know anyone. I was afraid for, you know, to talk to anyone and everything. And so I went and I sat on a park bench, a concrete park bench in the middle of the courtyard, trying to look busy, trying to, you know, to fit in. And I felt myself about to burst into tears, because I was so, had so much stress and anxiety. I lived that way. And I was about to cry, and I put my head down, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around quickly to see who it was, and there was no one there. And so I thought, this is just great. It's wonderful. I'm going to get picked on the first day of seventh grade. And so I put my head back down, started looking through my backpack, and it happened again. I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and there was no one there. But in that moment, I felt the presence of God sit down on that concrete bench next to me, and I felt Him put His arm around me, and I felt His presence speak to my spirit, and He said, "You are not alone. You are not invisible. You are not worthless. You are my daughter, and you are my child, and you'll never have to be alone." And in that moment, I knew that it was the voice of the Father. And I heard Him speak to me and say, "If you will allow me to, I will walk this journey with you. if you will allow me to. And I decided in that moment that I would allow him to walk that journey with me. Now, it wasn't easy. I faced all the same things that everyone else faced, all the temptations, all the insecurities going through high school. And I wish I could say that immediately I was the life of the party and I was bold and empowered, but I wasn't. I remained awkward and insecure for most of my high school career and everything. But one thing changed. I knew I was never alone. And I knew he had a purpose, and I knew that my current situation, my current circumstances were not my final destination, that he had a purpose and a plan for my life if I would allow him to walk with me. And it changed me in that moment, and that one encounter has stuck with me throughout my entire life.
And I'm so happy that you shared that, because there's a common thread of many of the young people that we work with. And again, for those that don't know, through West Shield, we work with at-risk youth, and we are transporting them to various places where they can get the help that they need. But there's a common thread that comes through with so many of them, that in this day and age of, of 5,000 Facebook friends and 10,000 Twitter friends and all of these different things, that there's a loneliness when our agents are sitting, in the back seat talking with this child, and we may be driving for hours. There's so many of them that at some point in time, that conversation gets to a place to where they start really getting into the fact that they're just so lonely, that they haven't made a connection with anyone, that it makes them feel good about themselves. But the loneliness is this common thread that we're hearing more and more and more. So I'm so thankful that you're telling that story, so that there are young people out there that can say, you know what, we're not alone.
Yeah. And that's so true, because the enemy in this culture, in this day and age, has caused a generation to live a virtual reality. And to social media is so easily accessible, and it's easy to live a virtual life, a virtual reality that leaves you feeling dehydrated. It's a cycle of destructive behavior, of living a life that's not real. And so then when you're faced with reality, you don't know how to react to it. You don't know how to react to real life situations. And I believe that God is calling a generation back to real encounters and real life purpose, and it to realize that they are worthy, that he loves them, that he has not abandoned them, that they're not alone, that all they have to do is call on his name, and that he will be there for them, that he will guide them and direct them. But all they have to do, and it's important for them to understand this, is to call on his name, and he will make himself known to them.
Well, it's amazing that, I mean, it really is that simple, and yet there are so many of us out there that aren't taking the time to really ask for help. Let's come back to the book, but I want to share with anybody, if you want to follow along with us, if you're sitting at a computer, you want to follow along with us, you can go to Karen's website, which is remnantintl.com. So that's remnantintl.com. And you can just open up another window. You can follow along with us. So some of the things that we're talking about, many of us are very visual, in especially in the society now with 500 or 1,000 television stations that you can pull up on the television. We're all very visual. So if you want to pull up another window, feel free to do that. But stay with us and keep listening. So let's talk a little bit about the book. What made you decide to choose a title like Dehydrated?
Well, it wasn't something that I had planned on doing. It wasn't a title that I thought, I'm going to write a book on Dehydrated. It was more along the lines of every time I would go and speak, that reoccurring thing would come up. And as I was praying, I actually had never intended to write a book. My husband writes books. My husband is brilliant. He writes, everything. And he had spoke to me, and he had said, Karen, God has a book inside of you from what you've walked through and what you've gone through. He wants you to get it out there to bring life and hope and purpose to everyone you come that you encounter. And I thought, you know what? God is going to have to speak to me himself. He's going to have to come down and say to me, I want you to write a book. And so I walked off. Well, I went to bed that night, and I was awakened in the middle of the night about 3 a.m. to the sound of thunder. And I guess I want to get across to a generation that God still speaks today, that he's not just a faraway God, that he's not just a God that's sitting up in heaven moving us and like chess pawns. He is a loving Father that will speak to us if we will listen. And so I went to bed that night, and I was woke up to the sound of thunder. And in the midst of that thunder, I heard my name. And, of course, I turned to my husband, and I woke him up, and I said, why did you yell my name? And he looked at me and said, I did not call your name. You know, just go back to sleep. And so I laid back down, and, again, I heard the sound of thunder. And I heard my name, and I jumped up out of bed, and I ran to the window to see if it was storming outside, and it was a beautiful night. You could see the stars in the sky, not a raindrop, nothing. And I thought it was so strange, and so I walked back to the bed to get back into bed, and I heard him say to me in my spirit. Now, it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't, you know, just right there with me. I just felt it in my spirit. I heard him say to me, he said, Karen, I have rescued you from a life of discouragement and despair. I have rescued you from a life of loneliness and anxiety and all of those things, and I'm calling you to share it with other people so that they too can have the strength and the courage to stand up and get free. And I laid there, and I was so shocked, and I thought, okay, I said that he was going to have to speak to me directly. And I woke up the next morning, and within just a short amount of time, I got the call from the publisher saying, we would love for you to write this book. I need you to come up with a title. And I began to walk through the living room, and I was praying, and I walked into the dining room. And as I walked into the dining room, God said, they're dehydrated. They're looking for fresh living water that will sustain them for a lifetime. And immediately that title just stuck. And I knew, because that's where I was. I was dehydrated. I was weary. I was exhausted. I was lost. I was in search for something that could sustain me for a lifetime. And God led me to the water. He led me to a place where I could drink and never thirst again. And he even says that, you know, all through the book, I talk in John 4 about the woman at the well. That's the basis of the book, is I talk about how she walked that long walk every single day, going over, rehashing, rehearsing, going over the long litany of just all the bad things that had happened to her, walking at the hottest time of the day. But there was one day that she would meet a man who would change her forever. And that's where we need to be, is to get to a point where we meet the one person that can change us for a lifetime, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is so loving and so caring that when he meets us, he has determined that we are worth his time and that he won't leave us where he found us, but he'll take us on a journey to freedom. And that's what he did for the woman at the well. And so that was how we came to the title of Dehydrated, is because there is a generation that has been over in thirst, looking desperately for relief for what they're walking through. And he is the answer for that.
So what do you believe are some of the causes of the spiritual dehydration that we're going through?
Well, I think the number one cause is the lies of the enemy. I think so many times we start believing and buying into the lies of the enemy. Just like that woman in John 4, the woman at the well, she bought into the lies of the enemy that said that she was dirty, she was worthless, that she had no value. And like I said, she had walked that long walk of shame and wallowing in self-pity, trying to avoid the ridicule of society, you know, and people thought, this is what I love about that scripture, is that people thought that she was so dirty. People thought that she was awful because she had had 5 husbands, she was living with the 6th man, but in reality, in those times, in Bible times, if that woman had been an adulteress, if she had, you know, had affairs, and that's why she had, you know, that many husbands, she would have been stoned to death. She wouldn't even been alive to have the 5th husband. She would have been stoned to death. And she was living with the 6th man who didn't feel she was even worthy to marry. So in reality, what happened was that she was rejected and discarded by society. 5 men had rejected her. She wasn't good enough. She wasn't worthy enough. Something was wrong with her in their eyes. And so And I love, so many people don't look up numbers, numerology in the Bible, but I love to look up numbers because the number 5 means grace. And the number 6 means the number of humankind's sinful nature. And I love that because she had had 5 husbands. Her grace had run out. And she was living with the 6th man, the sinful nature of man. She had decided, my grace has run out, and I'm just going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it in my own way, my own. I'm just going to live with this man. But what I love is on that day, she met the 7th man that would be in her life. And the number 7 means perfection, spiritual perfection, and resurrection. Because when you come to the end of yourself and you can't do it any longer on your own, God will bring you to a place where he can take over, bring that spiritual perfection, and resurrect the dead things in your life, the things that you had let go, the things that you had given up on, the things that you had just said, I can't do it anymore, I can't do, grace is gone, I can't do it on my own. But he can come in and bring everything back into the way it should be, because life had depleted her wellspring of hope, and she ran out of all of those things. But he met her that day and gave her hope and a future and resurrected her life.
Well, I think that you've just opened up a whole bunch of hope for a lot of those people that have been married for 4 times and weren't sure if they wanted to have that 5th.
Well, I do believe that God is a God of restoration, and he's a God of healing. And I believe that when we give our lives completely and wholly to him, that he can erase and wipe out the mistakes of the past, and he can set us on a new life of freedom. And God is a God of hope and restoration. I do believe that.
Well, along these same lines, we have another emailed question that has come up, and it seems to fit, I think, where we're at right now. It says, how much of this spiritual dehydration do you think comes from political party members around the world that want people to look at them as saviors just to maintain their own personal position and power?
Well, I believe that we're in a very critical time in our nation right now where politicians and everyone, it is more about them than about the wellness and the wholeness of our nation. And I think that people need to get back to a place where they realize that politicians and politics and all is not our salvation. And we need to get back to the Word of God, and we need to dig into the Word of God. We need to study. We need to, you know, we can listen to everyone else. We can listen to the pundits and the media and all of those things. But unless we get into the presence of God and we study and we read the Word, we don't fully understand or know the plans that God has. And so when we listen to all that, my husband and I are news junkies. We listen to the news constantly. We love it. You know, I mean, if we weren't in ministry, we'd probably be in some kind of political arena. But because I believe that we have to, as Christians, rise up, and we have to make a stand for truth again in our nation. And regardless of what politicians are saying, regardless of what the media is telling us, there has to be something inside of us that says, but I know that there's something bigger. I know that there's something more. I know that God is in control. I know that he has everything in his hands. And I'm going to be led not by the influence of culture, not by the persuasion of politicians, not by the directing of media, but I'm going to be led by the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that is going to be where I make my decisions based on, not according to what people are telling me.
Well, with us is Karen Schatzline, and she is the co-founder of Remnant Ministries International. Her new book is Dehydration. Stay with us. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Our guest is Karen Schatzline, co-founder of Remnant Ministries International, and we're talking about her new book, Dehydrated. And we're not talking about being dehydrated from water, but we're talking about being dehydrated spiritually. So, Karen, share with us a little bit about some of the symptoms of spiritual dehydration.
Well, I think just like physical symptoms of dehydration, I think spiritual dehydration goes along the same lines. It causes us to be tired, weary, discouraged. And when you face those things, you enter into despair and depression and lose your focus. And that's kind of what happened to me in my younger years, in my earlier life. You know, you get so dry and weary that it just causes discouragement. You begin to lose hope. You begin to lose desire for life. And many times in that desperation for hope, we just seek out destructive behaviors, you know, looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. You know, many times we turn to alcohol, we turn to drugs, we turn to destructive relationships and everything, just trying to find something that will fill that void in our life. And it just becomes, you know, as we said before, a spiritual cycle of destruction in our life. Our minds play tricks on us. We become ineffective, you know, in everything we do. Because when we begin to lose desire, we also begin to lose a desire to encounter God. And that our focus becomes more about us. It becomes more about, woe is me, what's going on in my life, what am I facing, what things are attacking me, rather than realizing that it's more than just about us. It's about other people. It's about the bigger picture. I always, when I travel and I speak, I always make a comment to people that we have to get to a point in our life where we stop looking at the microscope, looking into the microscope of all the little tiny things that are bothering us, that's going on in us, and we start looking through a telescope of the bigger picture of the world around us and the people that are around us. Because when we start looking at just ourselves, we lose the ability to think clearly and we lose faith because we only see what is right in front of us. And our decision-making becomes just erratic, irrational. We become desperate for survival rather than living a life full and fulfilled and vibrant. And I believe that the only thing that keeps us hydrated is continually returning to the well of life with Jesus. Having that constant, intentional encounter with God. I'll never forget one morning I got up and I work out in the morning times just to keep up with life and everything. I go in and I work out. And one morning I went down to do my workout in the basement. And I was tired. I was exhausted. And, you know, when you're tired and exhausted, you're just clumsy and everything. So I was doing insanity workout. And as I began to do the workout, my devotional was sitting on the counter. And I bumped into the counter, knocked my devotional off. And it frustrated me. And I picked it up and threw it back up there. And I was doing my workout again and went to grab a drink of water and knocked that devotional off again. And as I picked it up, the Holy Spirit touched my life. And he said, if you would spend half as much time nurturing your spirit man as you do nurturing your physical body, then you would have a much different day than you're going to have. And in that moment, I realized so many times we spend so much time doing all this other stuff. And what God really wants is to spend time with us. He's that loving of a father. He wants to talk with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to encounter us. He wants to lead us. You know, I always talk about when we get up in the morning sometimes, the first thing people do, because social media is so massive, is we run to our Facebook, we run to our Instagram, we run to Twitter, we run to all these different things, and we're like, I need a word from God. What is God saying to this person? What is God saying to this public figure? What is God saying to my friend over here? But in reality, what God wants to do is he wants to speak to you, that he wants to give you revelation. He doesn't want you to always have secondhand revelation for somebody that he said to someone else. He wants to talk with you. so that you can have fresh revelation for your life and for your day. You know, God wants to spend time with us in that aspect. And so I believe that, you know, we have to get to a place where we say, I am going to have intentional encounters with God, and I'm going to purpose to spend time in God's presence. And that's hard, especially in our busy lifestyles when we're going a million different directions, taking our children to all their activities and work and everything. But it's a matter of just, even if it's just 5 minutes, just to say, God, I give you this time. And I'm not always talking, but also listening to what God has for us. And I believe that's important.
Yeah, and I think that from the standpoint of meditation, you know, for some of us, and it, you know, for me, it may be walking the dogs down to the park and then sitting amongst the eucalyptus trees when no one else is around and just have that quiet time. Although when you mentioned about the working out, you know, I've become someone now who sets up various podcasts. So I will have podcasts so that I can have this information coming into me. So on the one hand, I'm working my body, but on the other hand, I'm having it come into my mind as well. So there is a way to kind of get a little bit of both going at the same time, because like you said, we're all very, very busy. So I know one of the things that you mentioned in the book is just how important it is that we discover our own identity and purpose. So share with our listeners a little bit in regards to not only why that's so important, but some of the ways in which we can achieve it.
Well, I think it's important because I truly believe, my husband and I both believe, that we are living in a time where identity has been hijacked, that there's a generation that has been abducted by the enemy, that they are constantly at war with their identity, that they don't know who they are, that the enemy has come in and he has tried to cause a generation to be so confused about their identity that they can never be who God has called them to be. And I have always said this, my husband and I both say this, is that what you have been through is a good indication of who you are called to, of who you're called to rescue. I feel like what I have been through is a good indication that I am called to rescue and to help rescue and help bring back those who feel alone, who feel worthless, who feel hopeless, who feel like they have no voice, and to tell them that this is your now to rise up and to be who God has called you to be. That it doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did last year. What matters is, what are you going to do with your now? What are you going to do with today? Are you going to abandon all the junk from yesterday? Are you going to abandon your all the insecurities, what someone did to you, what you've walked through, the hurt, the pain, the anxiety, the offense, the unforgiveness? You've got to walk away from some things in order to see your future. You can't keep looking back. You can't keep looking at what's behind you. You have to start looking at what's in front of you. And I believe that, you know, when you come to that place of realizing that it's not about what you've walked through, so many people, I believe, in their search for their identity, they draw their identity from what they have been through. And that's simply not the truth. My identity does not come from how I was raised. It doesn't come from circumstances surrounding the way I was, the way I grew up. And I tell people all the time, do not be held hostage to the pain and of your family's past. If you come from a long line of addiction, if you come from a long line of abuse, if you come from a long line of poverty, that does not dictate who God has called you to be. What it does dictate is that you have a compassion to reach out to those that have walked through what you've walked through. And so, but God can bring you out and put your feet on new ground. And, you know, I love it because God can take anyone. He doesn't call, and I know it's a cliche, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. And he doesn't look for the brightest, the best. He doesn't look for the most qualified. He doesn't look for the most talented, the most gifted, the most attractive. What he looks for is for those who are available. And I think when you start looking at yourself through God's eyes, through his mirror of love, because I tell a generation that the world presents itself as a funhouse mirror, and everything within it is distorted, and everything, it will distort your view of who you are. But when you look through the eyes of God and through that mirror of love and in his word, you will see truly who you are, that everyone has a purpose, that everyone is worth, you know, something to God, that everyone has value, then you start seeing yourself as more of a warrior that can conquer and take back the land that the enemy has taken from you. Because the enemy is going to pursue you relentlessly. But when you realize that you have inside of you everything you need to conquer the enemy, it will change how you start your day. I recently had a painting made for my daughter's room. She's only 13 years old. And it was at her age that I realized that God had more for me. And I had a painting made for her room, and all it says on the painting is, "Awaken the warrior within." And I put it in her room because every day, and I put a scripture below it telling her that, you know, she is valued. And every morning I want her to wake up and I want her to see that painting that says, no matter what you face today, there is a warrior within you that God has called you to conquer and to stomp on the enemy's head, and that you can face anything that he throws at you. And when you realize that you are a child of the King, then it changes how your value of yourself. I truly believe that.
Yeah, and I agree. And I run into young people at times that will say, you know, well, but I am a, a child of alcoholics, or I am a, I've dealt with a mental health thing, so I am this, and they start giving themselves a tag. And so I say to them, and I go, if you broke your leg, would you say I'm a broken leg? I mean, your leg is going to heal just as the rest of you can and will heal if you just allow it. Don't wallow in it. Don't continue to say that I am this, because that isn't who you are or what you are. That is something that may have happened to you, but it doesn't have to stay with you.
I agree, because I share this a lot at the conferences, that we all have scars. Uh-huh. We all have things that have happened to us. But here's the thing. A scar is just proof that you survived. A scar heals. It means the pain's over. It means that the wound has healed. And a scar is a reminder to you, you know what, that is where the enemy tried to take me out. But this scar right here proves that I survived, that God intervened, that he brought me above that, that he made me a victor, not a victim. We're no longer victims. We're still alive. We're still here, and we're still pressing through. I love that.
We have another question coming in, and this one reads, I am a social worker in Los Angeles who left the Baptist Church many years ago because I didn't feel they were authentic to the teaching. Recently, I started attending a non-denominational church and find its approach to spirituality refreshing. I was wondering if your movement was denominationally aligned, and what is your feeling about mainstream religion today?
We are affiliated with the Assemblies of God, but we approach ministry more as non-denominational. We believe we should have a covering just for accountability, and because I feel that everyone should be accountable to someone. We should never be an island unto ourselves, because when you don't have accountability, then you tend to, it's easy for you to sway according to your own opinions and everything. You need that accountability. But we are more non-denominational. We travel, and because our goal is not to push a denomination. Our goal is not to push any one, you know, organization. Our goal is to lead a generation back to the love of the Father, and to do it in truth, the whole truth. It's not based on our opinions. It's not based on, just what we believe. It's based on the Word of God. Because I love it, because, you know, I really believe that in today's culture, truth is the new hate speech. And the enemy of truth is silence. And when we remain silent, the enemy is allowed to come in and distort the truth.
Well, explain what you mean for those out there about when you say truth is the new hate speech. Share a little bit more about that.
Yes, because I believe that everyone wants to, or not everyone, but there's so many in our culture who want to distort truth to be convenient. That everyone says it's my truth, it's your truth. We all scream for a convenient truth. But the truth is that the Word of God is the truth that we live by. And the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth cannot be changed. Truth is not up for debate. it's not that, well, this makes me feel better, so that's my truth. No, truth is not always convenient. Truth is not always popular. Truth doesn't always feel good, but what truth does is it brings change to our life in order to bring healing to our life, to bring discipline to our life. And it's not about God sitting up saying, well, you must do this or I'm going to, you know, strike you down. No, it's God saying, I have laid these truths out for you because it will bring healing to your life. It will give you a life of fulfillment. It will give you a life of freedom and healing and hope and purpose. And we walk in the truth of God. We are able to walk in freedom. We don't have the chains and the bondages of culture that hold us back. Just because we don't believe something doesn't make it not true. And I think in our culture that it has so been distorted that if anyone just declares something as their truth, then we have to adopt that as truth. And it's not the case. We have to stick to what the Word of God says, and we have to stand up. And I think that the church has become silent too often in trying to be too politically correct and afraid to offend someone. But sometimes the truth is offensive, because it gets to the root cause of issues. And when you get to root causes of issues, that's uncomfortable. And so many times in our culture, being uncomfortable is not being politically correct.
Now, and what would you say to some of the people out there that, you know, we're getting so many more people now coming to this country that are raised not only in a different culture, but in a different religion. And they have been taught now since a very, very young age a completely different truth. How can we have that conversation and do it in a very, moral and ethical fashion?
Yes, that is so difficult in our culture today because we're facing that so much now. We live in a nation. We're a melting pot. My family is a melting pot. We have every nationality in our family. Our family is a multicultural family. And so we have many different things that can be taught. But what the church has got to realize, and I do believe in Christians have to realize, is that we can't compromise our truth just because someone else was raised differently. But here's where the tricky part comes in. For so many years, the church has come across as arrogant and come across as angry and come across as holier than thou, when what we need to be doing is sharing the truth in love, having those conversations, and standing firm on what is truth and not compromising, but not becoming angry and not becoming violent and not becoming arrogant in that. The people need to see that Christians love people, that the Bible says that they will know us by our love. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not, that we don't stand up for what we believe. Because as a Christian, I believe that it's my job. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to allow my daughter to be taught something that's not right. If something is being taught that is untrue, and because there's so many different cultures infiltrating, if her school starts teaching something contrary to the Word of God, I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to make my petition known that I don't agree with that, and I'm going to stand firm on that because I believe that that is our place. And if we as a nation don't want our nation changed, because this nation was designed and it was set up on godly principles, and I believe, I truly believe in embracing all people. But that doesn't mean we have to embrace all cultural differences, because we have to stand up for what is right and what is true.
Right. And, well, I think what I hear you saying is that it's fine for them to have their culture and have their belief. Just do not try to change ours.
And I do believe that, but at the same time, because we are to love people and our goal is to see all men saved, to see all men and women saved and come to the knowledge and the understanding of God and who He is, and that we do need to make sure that we are preaching and we are teaching and we are sharing the gospel in love, because our goal is to not see anyone perish and to be deceived by the enemy. And so I think that we have to find ways that we can infiltrate that and to share the love of God, so that there are opportunities for God to penetrate their hearts and to bring them to a place of repentance, so that they too can accept Christ as their loving Savior.
Well, I just looked at the time. We have about 4 minutes, and anybody that listens to this show knows that one of the things I love most are the success stories. So in the last couple of minutes, if you can share a little bit about some of your own experience of overcoming spiritual dehydration.
Yes, there have been many times in my life where I've come to a place, and one of those experiences was definitely after many years after having our son, we were unable, my husband and I were unable to have another child. And we so longed to have another child. And during that time, it was a period of 8 years that we were trying to have another child, that I became depressed. I battled depression in my life. I battled discouragement and despair. And I'll never forget, because there was one day my husband was out of town speaking at a conference, and I took my son to school and dropped him off, and I began to weep, and I began to just pour my heart out to God that I was done. I couldn't do this anymore. I felt like he had abandoned me. I felt like he was mad at me. I didn't understand why he wouldn't give me the desires of my heart. And I don't know how I got home that day, and I feel bad for anybody I may or may not have run off the road that day because I was praying. And so I pulled into the driveway, and I sat there. And this is what I want people to know. He does speak. God is a God, a living God. We serve a living, loving, just amazing Father. And I sat there, and I said, God, I'm done. I can't do this on my own anymore. And God spoke to me, and he said, exactly, you can't do this on your own anymore. And finally, you're at that point. And he told me in my spirit, he said, if you were in the ocean and you're on a ship and that ship was sinking, what would keep you alive? And I said, God, I don't know if I wanted to stay alive in that moment. That's how depressed, that's how discouraged I am at this moment. But then he brought to my heart, if my son was on that ship, he was a young child at that time, I would stay alive to keep him alive. And he said, exactly, in your despair, rescue someone else and you will be saved as well. Because I think so many times in our life, we think everything is about us. Everything we go through is about us. And in reality, everything we go through is to push us closer to the Father. And it's not just about us. It's about when we get up, stop looking in the microscope, start looking in the telescope about what God has called us to do, we will get to a place where we will see the masses that need God's love and his protection and his hope and his future. And we'll stop thinking about ourselves and we'll go out and we'll rescue. And so what happened in that moment, and we began the adoption process to adopt our daughter from China, and everyone tells me how lucky she is to have you. You rescued her. And I say, no, you don't understand. She rescued me that day. Because in rescuing her, she rescued me. And she's been our gift from God. And I want people to know that everything you walk through can be a time of growth that protected. We think we're walking through the dark room, walking through the dark seasons. And God says, but what you call a dark season, I call a protected stage of development where I am meeting with you and I am pulling out of you the strength that you need to not only get yourself out of this, but to, the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that means we're going to walk through some hard times, but we don't stay there. We don't set up a housing development there. We walk through it and we grab as many people as we can and pull them out as well.
Karen, thank you so much. That is a beautiful way for us to wrap this up. Again, for anybody out there, you can learn more about Remnant by going to Karen's website, remnantintl.com. When you get to the page, you'll see that there's information about the ministries. There's a bookstore where you can get dehydrated or some of the other books as well. There's also a schedule in regards to where Karen will be, and not only when, but where you'll be speaking as well. So, again, the information is out there for you. Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and please let us know when you're going to be on the West Coast, as I would love to get together and talk with you again.
Thank you. I will definitely do that. Thank you for having me on today.
You're welcome. And for everybody out there, please tune in next week when our guest will be New York Times bestselling author Martin Yate. He's the author of Knock 'Em Dead, The Ultimate Job Search Guide. So again, for anybody out there, we're at a time in which, especially young people coming right out of college, there is still some issues with jobs. And so to be able to have a guide like this and to speak with someone like Martin about how to get that job This is something that, for those of you listening, if you have a child that is, again, starting to go into the job market, have them listen. And for everybody else, if you're not happy in the position that you are in, this might be the time to listen and see how you might get into the job that makes you happy. And if you miss a show or you want to share a show with your friends, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can check us out on iTunes or Stitcher. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and like us. That's how we get the message out. So for all of you out there, the more that you can help us, the better we can get the information to as many people as possible. Thank you all for listening. And remember, be good humans, be kind to each other, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.